Feels a little dry in here tonight. Let's get our hearts a little bit excited about the Lord. Let's sing 544. I'm a new creation. Victory.
Amen.
Not because of our own strength. We have victory because of one who went before us.
Amen.
Because of the blood of the Lamb, we have that victory. Amen. Through His power, through His grace.
Amen.
Yeah, musicians, you can go. Thank you so much. Yeah, isn't He good?
Amen.
So good. How many are tired of the Shadowlands here?
Amen.
Amen. I sure am. Can't wait to reach my home. This is just a place where we're pilgrims and strangers. Don't you feel strange, real strange sometimes when you get out there and talk to people and hear them swear and talk about the going to happy hour and going to taking the Lord's name in vain, and you just feel like an oddball. You just don't fit in. It just grieves you. Mm-hmm. But we have a happy hour right now, don't we?
Yeah.
Or hour and a half or 2 hours or whatever the Lord brings for us. I'm so thankful. The appetizers are free and so is the main course.
Yeah.
We drink of the wine of the Spirit. Tonight I want to talk about the rapture and relate it to salvation. Just kind of where I came from was, it started with the thought that we get so worked up in the message that we need to be ready for the rapture, and we do need to be ready. But sometimes that's taken into carnality. That we could do something or some action that we could take that would cause us to not go in the... if I'm doing this while He comes, I won't make the rapture. Is that grace or is that... That's legalism. We get this thing where it just takes away our peace. It takes away our rest in Him. So I wanted to, it started from the idea that the rapture is simply a completion of our salvation. It's a finishing of that salvation. And then from there it went into something a little bit different, but before we do that, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful for your joy, for your grace, Lord, for the living water that you give to us, Lord. We just, like the woman at the well, we just need to ask. Just need to ask you, and you'll give fountains of living water springing forth to eternal life. So, Lord, we just ask now that you would bring forth your fountain now, Lord, of living water, where we can be washed by that water of the Word. Lord, I pray you take me out of the way, Father. There's nothing good in me, Lord, and nothing good in my flesh that I could offer that would be of help to anyone here, Lord. We're totally dependent on your Spirit. Just ask that you would speak, Lord, that your word would come forth.
Yes.
In the power of the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
We ask it in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. And I truly believe that a sermon is not made studying, but a sermon is made in the prayer closet. Amen. I was reminded of that when I went to study on Sunday, and I prayed first, but I just went and sat down and started to study based upon what my original thought was. And boy, it was just like scratching a chalkboard is what it felt like in my spirit. It was just horrible. Like, oh, I'll keep going forward until something, you know, strikes forth. Nothing at all. So then Monday morning, just sat down to pray in the morning, and just all of a sudden one thought after the other, after the other, after the other. Same thing last night. Wasn't in my studying or my working, all of us, and our working ourselves into something. But it's when the Lord opens up.
Yeah.
We can pray that the Lord would anoint it here, but it's in that closet where it starts. It's in that prayer where it starts. So, turn with me to Romans 13. Stand up as we read. Got a real strange subject for you tonight. Well, we like real strange subjects when they're scriptural. Isn't that right? Romans 13:11, and that knowing the time, that now it is high time to wake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. You can be seated. I thought we were already saved, didn't you? I thought we were already saved. Ephesians 2:8-9, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Saved, past tense. So Paul tells us, you're saved, but there's also a salvation that is coming that is nearer than from when we first believed. So two kinds of salvation right there, not just one kind of salvation. And I have to give a little testimony when... Hope that's okay, Brother Don, what I told you. He mentioned towards the end of the service, well, there's two different kinds of justification. It's like one's just the first step of grace, and the other one, the Brother Branham proclaimed for the bride, was completely different. And I said, Don, that's nowhere in Scripture. What are you talking about? You're crazy. And thought that for a while, and went to study. I was like, there's a Scripture in 1 Peter. That would fit real good with the thought that I had initially. Open right there, and let's turn there. 1 Peter chapter 1. Verse just amazing how the Holy Spirit can work and just give you what you have need of in the right time. Verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath He begotten us again unto, or towards, or for the purpose of a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. To an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. As soon as I read that, I said, well, he was right. It's right there, it is right there. Two different kinds of salvation, one that we're partakers of now, and one that is ready to be revealed in the last time. Peter says it's not revealed now what it is, what that salvation is. It's not time for that, but it will be revealed in the last time, that salvation. So, as you can see, future tense, faith unto or towards or for the purpose of salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, that we're born again, we're born of the Spirit. Verse 3, towards, unto, or for the purpose of a lively hope. So, yes. So again, at Peter's time, when he was writing this, these were all future tense events that he's speaking of. But, and then verse 13, skip ahead. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. So there's a grace, future grace, that is to be brought to us at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Let's talk about this terminology, the revelation of Jesus Christ. Most in the denominational world would say this is when Jesus Christ returns to earth to take over the world, and that at that time grace will be brought to us. However, Peter here is writing to the church. He's writing to people who are alive at the time, living in a sinful body, living in a sinful world, and they're waiting for something. They're waiting for grace to be brought to them. I don't want to jump ahead of myself, so I'm just going to use that. They're waiting for grace that's going to be brought to them at the revelation of Jesus Christ. They're not with Christ already, coming back to earth. They're on earth, people waiting for that grace, waiting for that salvation that is to be revealed at the last time. So grace is brought to a people that is alive on earth. Not to people in heaven coming back with Christ, but to people on earth just before the going home. I don't want to get ahead of myself, but that grace that is given, that's what that second part of salvation is. Salvation number two, that's that grace there. And as Brother Don has preached about before, grace is always given for a purpose. It accomplishes something. It first, it forgives us our sins. It gives us that new life, that new creature that we become in Christ when we're born again. But here, it's talking about a future tense grace, not that past tense grace. These are believers. They already received grace, the grace of God. Peter said, there's going to be another grace given to you at the shining forth, the revelation, the unveiling of Jesus Christ. Yes. So that, what is the purpose of the grace that is to be brought? And that's what I want to delve into and look more deeply into. And what I'm about to say sent me running around my house like a wild man. I was so excited when the Lord just opened that up to me. It was like, wow, dancing and shouting and having a good old time. Any time before salvation comes, there first comes a revelation of that salvation. So the revelation, it precedes salvation. Before men and women were saved by Jesus Christ, it was first revealed by the Spirit that they have to be saved and what they must do to enter into that salvation. So there is a salvation there that is to be had, and then there is that revelation of that salvation. If God doesn't tell you that you need to be saved, you're just going to go on your merry way and you're just going to think everything's fine. That's what the Jews would have done. That's what the Gentiles would have done. They would have not known any better than simply just live the way we are. Hold your fingers there, but turn to Romans 10. Oh, wow. It's 25 after already. It's not good. Romans 10:14. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And just the first part of 15. And how shall they preach except they be sent? So in order for us to receive a revelation, a preacher has to be sent by who? By a church, a denomination, a seminary? No. By the Almighty Himself.
Amen.
A preacher has to be sent so that we can hear that salvation is necessary, so that we can receive from God. He first receives from God a revelation, not a revelation that's outside of Scripture, but a revelation that brings the Scripture out like it never was. The Scripture was never brought out before. God reveals that to him, and then he comes forth and he preaches, and then we know, oh, I should have known that all along. There's a salvation that I need to be a partaker of. That goes for salvation part one and salvation part two. Apostles had to be sent out to the world. They had to receive a revelation of God and they had to give it out so that people knew, I need to enter into what this man is pointing to. I need to take heed to these words so that I can be a partaker of that which He is showing forth, which God is calling us to. Just as the words of Paul and Barnabas revealed salvation and what to do to receive that salvation, so do the words of William Branham and those who preach that same word reveal the need for salvation and to declare how to become a part of that. That's what the message is all about. Just as the words of Paul and Barnabas revealed salvation and what to do to receive that salvation, so do the words of William Branham and those who preach that same word reveal the need for salvation and declare how to become a part of that salvation. So if there already is a salvation and there is a salvation that is to be revealed in the future tense, as Peter put it, then what do these salvations mean? What do they accomplish? What is the purpose? Are they completely separate events? Yes, they're completely separate events. But are they all part of one purpose that God has? What purpose is wrought in them? So I'm going to write down Salvation 1 and Salvation 2. We're just going to kind of describe the differences and then the similarities. Okay. So, 1 Peter again. Verse 3, he says, "We are begotten again unto a lively hope." So here, begotten again. For what purpose? For that lively hope. Romans 8. Verse 24. For we are saved by hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. So that lively hope that we are begotten for is something that we're not in possession of now. If we were in possession of it now, then why would we hope for it? We would have it. We'd have the fulfillment of that hope. So we're born again for this purpose. Born again, we're starting the process to complete the process.
Amen.
1 Peter again, verse 4. We're begotten again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. Turn forward. Let's think of the word there, incorruptible. 1 Corinthians 15. Verse 51. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible, this body right here, must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. So there in 1 Peter, that inheritance incorruptible, that's what it is. It's that new body that we receive. And where is that new body? It's reserved in heaven for you. Without turning there, 2 Corinthians 5, verse 1. Well, let's turn there. Just a few pages over. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God. A building from God, something that God is working on, is making, is assembling, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven. That inheritance that is reserved in heaven for us is that new body, is that glorified body. How many are looking forward to that? I need it more and more every day. That new body. Ephesians 1. Verse 13. In whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of His glory. So that two parts of salvation right there. Right here we receive the earnest of our inheritance. So this salvation, number one, is the earnest. It's the down payment. It's the money that you pay if you're going to go to buy a house. You're going to give them $1,000, $1,500. Here's my check. It's a promise that you're going to receive the other $150,000 when we close our loan, so that we can take possession of the house. That's what the Holy Spirit baptism is. Can you see the guarantee of it right there? You receive that, the new birth. You're born again. You're filled with the Holy Ghost. That settles it. You're going to receive your inheritance. God's not a liar. He's not like some of us when we go to buy a house. Well, here it is, and we're going to go forward with it. No, we changed our mind. Just rip up the check. God doesn't do that. God's word is eternally true.
Amen.
And His work in you is eternally true.
That's right.
Romans 8. Verse 15. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. That's that first part, the spirit of adoption. That's the guarantee, so to speak, that you're going to be, you receive that full adoption. The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with Him, that we may be also glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was not made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of Him who has subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit. Even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our bodies. This is that adoption. Salvation number two. Or the redemption of our body. I just love it when I go through these scriptures. I just so see the unity of the New Testament. And so see that the work that He begins, it's started, and it's going to be completed, and it's for an end, an expected end that He has.
Perfect.
Now, we've been over adoption before, but I just love talking about adoption. Brother Randy mentioned a couple times ago when you preached. I don't remember if it was on the Sunday that you preached or what it was, but placing huiothesia, or the placing of funds. I don't know what that is, but I think I need a drink of water. I think that's what that is. I have a little bit of a lisp. The placing of sons. I love the typing that onto the bar mitzvah for the Jewish children. They grow up and they're taken to a ceremony when they're how old? 13? 13. And when they go through this ceremony, they become a son of the commandments. Before that, they're children. They're children. They're part of that family. But they're not sons yet. They're just children. So in that ceremony, they become a son of the commandments, a son of the word. And that's what we do. We go through that process. We're born, we're sons, we're a part of Him. And then we come through this process here to our full adoption and placing as sons, entering into that full purpose that He had in His mind before the foundation of the world. So let's go. The other thing that when I was praying really came strong in my heart is the same process that Jesus goes through is the same process that you and I go through. Think of who is this Melchizedek. It's all the becoming of sons. If you look at that, how many times over and over again he says, Jesus become a son. He became a son. Becoming, 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 becoming. That's what the process is for. That's what he's doing. Psalm 2, verse 7. Looking at Jesus and his process. I will declare the decree. The Lord has said unto me, Thou art my son. This day have I begotten thee. I'll ask you a question. What day? What specific day is he referring to? There's several times where there's a declaration of sonship. Luke 1:35. And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. There, at his birth, declared the Son of God. Luke 3:22. And the Holy Ghost descended in a bodily shape like a dove upon him. And a voice came from heaven which said, Thou art my beloved Son, in thee I am well pleased. Another declaration of sonship. I didn't write the scripture down, but the other one that came to mind was on the Mount Transfiguration, where he said, This is my beloved Son. Hear him. Acts 13. Verse 33, God hath fulfilled the same unto us, their children, and that he hath raised up Jesus again, as it is also written in the second Psalm, Thou art my Son, this day have I begotten thee. And Romans 1, yeah, yep, just the process. Romans 1, verse 2, or verse 1, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power, and this is a parenthetical thought, according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. So, put that together, and declared to be the Son of God with power by the resurrection from the dead. Just as Paul said, declaring the resurrection being the day that God had begotten his Son. Strange, but yet perfect, looking at the process we go through, same process that he goes through in his life. He's becoming, entering into that full state of sonship. God didn't have in mind, he wasn't going to have us born here on this earth like this, and then we're just going to stay like this forever. We're going to be born again, and we're just stopped there. And that's it. That was only part of the process. It started before the foundation of the world when he elected us, and then he predestinated us to enter into that full adoption as sons. So it started there. The process finishes there. We are sons now, but we haven't entered into that full place of sonship yet. We're not there yet. That's what these salvations are about. That's the process. It's all one process. Even though they're talking about salvation we receive when we're born again and salvation we receive when we get our glorified bodies. It's all one salvation. John 1 verse 12, as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. That's that new birth. Galatians 4. Verse 5. Start at verse 4. But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. It's all through the blood, the whole process. It's all through the blood. This is talking about adoption. It's not just talking about this adoption, it's talking about the whole process. The whole process of us entering into that full relationship with God as a son. And God sent forth His Son for the purpose of us entering into that adoption. Mm-hmm. What amazing grace. Through the blood, it takes us all the way through to that full process. Romans 8:29. For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. He's the firstborn from among the dead. He's that first son that came into that full stature of sonship. Moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called. And whom He called, them He also justified. And whom He justified, them He also glorified. So I'll just throw that down there too. Justified. Or justified there. Right here, we're glorified. Paul talks about it as one beautiful process. Past tense. God has seen it already. And it's just coming to pass. In this world. In your life. To me, in the light of this, the scripture that Paul says, He that began a good work in you will be faithful to complete it. He began it here. He's going to complete it here. That's where the completion of that comes. So I want to ask you a question. Do you think He's going to... Number one, if you've truly been born again, have you truly been born again? Have you been born of the Spirit? Yeah. Have you received... You always say, well, so-and-so received Jesus into their heart. You know how you receive Jesus into your heart? By being born of the Spirit. By being baptized with the Holy Ghost. If you've truly received that, I'm not talking about a Pentecostal experience. I'm not talking about speaking in tongues or saying, well, I believe the message. I'm talking about a true experience with God that you can say, I've had that experience with God. By faith, I've had that experience. If you've had that, then salvation number two, it's sealed for you. You're sealed right here at the new birth until the day of your redemption. Right here. That's when you're going to be redeemed. When you receive that new body. I just hope that gives you some peace and some rest in the process that God is accomplishing in your life. I know it does for me. You know, you can hear people say, well, I better do this, or I better be under the right pastor, or I gotta be at the right, going to the right church with the right this or the right that. All that stuff just goes, phew. What are you talking about? You're crazy. You're a lunatic. This is what I stand on. This is what I stand. Christ is the absolute, not some pastor. Not Brother Branham, Christ. And this is Christ in letter form right here. The Holy Word. And just don't be shaken by what other people around here are saying. Somebody says something, say, fine, God bless you, brother. And then go search it out in the Word. Take it back to the Bible. People can take one quote here and they can take one quote there and they can take one quote here out of context from what Brother Branham was the point he was trying to make with that sermon that he was preaching, and they can piece together the most awful and devilish doctrines that you've ever heard of in the Christian world. But guess what they don't do? They don't sit down and pray about it. They don't go back to the Bible. They don't go... How many times did you hear Brother Branham say, all doctrine, I believe that all doctrine must come from this Bible. So if there's a doctrine out there the return ministry, where do you get that? Is that in the Bible? Well, no. Then it's not from God. That's not from God. Brother Branham said, to me and those who I'm leading to Christ and by Christ, the Bible is our absolute. This is the final word. This is what the message brought us back to. It didn't bring us back to a bunch of ideas pieced together to form the doctrine of the message. But it brought us back to Christ. It brought us back to the Bible. And that's where I stand. I love Martin Luther. My conscience is captive to the Word of God. I can do no other. I'm so thankful. My mom, since I was a little boy, just always brought that home. I didn't care how much sin I was living in. If somebody said, do you believe the Bible? I would have said, yes, I do. And somebody did. They said, well, you're sure not living like you believe the Bible. And wow, that started the change that God wrought. But it was my mom on her knees. It was my mom pointing me. Whatever anybody says, that's fine. But it's what the Bible.
Right.
And that's why I believe this message.
Right.
Is because it's scriptural. It's what it's vindicated word out of the Bible. It's lit it up like a Christmas tree, so to speak,
right,
in my life.
Amen. Thank you.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for your word. We're so thankful for the power that is in it. The power that you bring forth out of it. What grace you have brought to us this day, the revelation of Jesus Christ. Lord, you're preparing us for that new body. That's what that revelation that you brought was all about. Lord, it comes forth first to prepare us. Comes forth first, so that we might receive that salvation number two, so we might receive that glorified body. Lord, we're so thankful that you opened our eyes, that you predestinated us to that adoption. Lord, that our destiny is already foreknown and sealed. What grace, Lord. We thank you for it. We ask it in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's sing I Love Him. Thank you. Salvation comes. There first comes a revelation of that salvation. There's a revelation that we've received that's preceding receiving that new body. And it's for the purpose of preparing us for that. That's what Scripture says. Always, always, before God does something, He reveals it. He reveals it to His people through a chosen vessel. Brother Don, you want to come forward?
The rich people. And my, what a day to be living in. You know, you get down and discouraged sometimes. It looks so dark outside. But there's hope. I mean, the light inside our souls. It just keeps you going from day to day. And that's the eternal light. That's what keeps you going. That's what we're living for. And so thankful for what He has done, what He has shown, and that preparation, that revelation, the revelation of Jesus Christ. Christ, the mystery of God revealed in this day. That's what He came to reveal Himself, to prepare us for that. That's exactly what He's done. It's all perfect, isn't it? Let's take some prayer requests tonight, then. Have you made it back safely? And you got blessed? Praise the Lord. Good. I'd like you to keep my sister-in-law, Kathy Martin, still fighting cancer. And your cousin, Carrie. Yeah, Greg? Yeah. Yeah, it's a battle down here, no doubt about it. If you think it, just don't lay down your sword. Just don't get out of your armor. Yeah, there's a reason that having done all to stand in this last day. Yeah. Anybody else? Packing this week and next. What's his name?
Brother Gassem.
Gassem. Okay, and that's Gassem here.
Yeah, and he's the one that their church meets in.
Oh.
He works overnight and he can't
work
now. So
oh, boy.
I hope we can pray about him and help him.
Be interesting just to. That's in Turkey, though.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Anybody else? Who's going to take us before the throne of grace tonight?
Lord, I just thank you, Father, for the encouraging word.
Thank you, Lord.